Morning. Where is everyone today? Did the carnival start early? Are the carnies handing out free stuff? From what I know of, never mind. Nothing's free at a carnival. I'll just leave it at that. Winner every minute. Winner every minute. So I want to do something real quick. Can we take a break from our regularly scheduled program, whatever that might look like and whatever that is? We have a youth group right now from Whitewater, junior hires, traveling to junior high camp right now. Yeah, it's really awesome. So they're going to be there for a week and experience some really cool things and experience a really cool theme at camp this year. And I'm excited for them, and I'm excited for the sponsors that are with them, because these are two people that have not gone to a camp here yet. So we're throwing people to the wolves that have never been, okay? So what you need to understand about camp is, if you've never been, you can feel kind of lost as a leader. You can feel kind of, I've been going to camp since I was a kid, and then I just kind of fell into like being a leader at camp, whether through music or whether through speakers or whatever that be. And then my wife went with me. It was kind of an eye-opener a couple years ago. She went with me and actually as the youth sponsor for Whitewater. And I felt really bad for her, because she got there and she was just completely lost and bewildered and very frustrated. She made it through, but those are the things that can happen as a sponsor. So Connie is her name, Connie Andrews. Can we pray for her? Can we pray for April Martin, who's also with them? And then pray for our junior high youth that they encounter God in a mighty way, and for Connie and April. You know, a lot of times sponsors think that they're above getting taught at these kinds of things, which is completely false, okay? They need to be hearing from God just as much as these kids do. So let's pray that that happens. God, we pray for our youth that are traveling right now to go be a part of your movement, to go hear from you, to go hear from experience of others and other teachers that are going to be there that love these kids. I pray that the time is just sweet between them and the van right now, that they would just go and have a great time, that there would be minimal vomiting. We had lots of vomiting last year in the van, minimal vomiting, that there would be minimal aggravation and agitation amongst the students, and that they would just see you for who you are. And I pray the same for the sponsors. I pray for Connie and April, and I thank God for them. I thank you, God, for them and their willingness to go this week and to sponsor. God, bless them for that. Open their ears, open their hearts, just as you're going to do with the students, so that everybody can hear from you and come back just completely engaged. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So I just had a thought. Some of you probably didn't show up because of what I taught on last week. I told you to give up your spiritual disciplines that were hindering you from God, that have become more about the spiritual discipline itself instead of about God. And so some of you may have said, that's church. That's my bad, I guess, all right? But that's okay. How many of you practiced that? Did you guys give up any spiritual disciplines? Just show me a raise of hands. If anybody's brave enough to speak about that experience, the whole thing was, give up any practice that has lost sight of God in your world. It could be prayer. Isn't that weird that you could pray and totally miss God because you're praying your own heart instead of His? There's some weirdness there. It could have been Bible reading. It could have been devotions. It could have been serving others, you know, if you've lost God in that. And the goal was just to give up these practices for a week and to enjoy God. Did anybody enjoy God during this time? Is anybody brave enough to speak about that? None? Craig, stand up and talk loud, can you? Would you, please?
But I'll tell you something else about the Bible app. It lies. Because even though I took 3 days, I told
Anybody else brave enough to share? This side of the room? Anyone? Anybody new here? I'm just kidding. Yeah, for me it was interesting. So I talked about this giving up things that are automatic and kind of are easily void of God. And we've been reading through Scripture with my family and my kids every night. And we've been going through the Bible in a year through the YouVersion Bible app. And Zero went to camp. He went to Table in the Wilderness camp. Some of you have seen the video, I think, and the pictures and things. We were the band, and a bunch of us spoke up there at this camp. We were there, and I said, well, let's keep this Bible reading going so we don't fall behind. That was on Sunday after I got done teaching about this very thing, okay? And Sherry said, my wife said, oh, well, or we could just not and wait till Zero gets here, and we can just pick it up as a family. And I was like, okay. And it was amazing. So I didn't touch any kind of scripture, which, do you want to know how hard that is to teach this teaching? Do you want to know how hard it is to not touch scripture for a week and then get up and stand and talk about this? Fortunately, Paul wrote this really nicely. And fortunately, this isn't one of those passages where you have to really dive down and get crazy with the Greek and Hebrew and try to figure out, what is he really saying? But it's interesting to try to do that. And my enjoyment came then from actually worship. All week long, we were singing music. We were doing worship through song. And that's a practice that has never been void of God for me. That's an interesting, easy access point for me to just instantly engage. And it happened all week long. And I got to see God moving through the band that was there. I got to see God moving through the speakers that came and gave of their time. I got to see God moving through these kids and the conversations we had there with them. And it was actually an enjoyment. I loved it. Loved every piece of it. And it was cool to just watch God move amongst the camp staff and amongst the kids and people that we just got to encounter and just be with. And you know what? God was moving without my rigid scripture reading. I'm not telling you reading the Bible is not important. Don't mishear that. I'm not telling you that prayer is not important, but it was amazing to watch God do what he does and for me to just be able to enjoy it. So I pray that that's what you guys have done, and I pray that, you know, whoever, you know, some of you, it was a challenge to do this. Some of you had no spiritual disciplines to give up in the first place. Right? So then you just did what you always do. Well, that's easy. But I pray as you guys are seeking God and looking into this, like, what's a value? What's important in your world that's not just becoming tradition or things that just lose God in the whole process, all the while saying it's for him? Don't lose him. We're going to keep talking, all right? Paul, we're in a teaching series in Colossians. It's called Church DNA is the series that we're in, and this really just sets up the DNA for the church altogether, our life in Christ together as a community. And Paul is talking about, he continues this thought. You know, last week it was, hey, you know, do not let this old rule, this old guard condemn you for what you eat and drink. Don't let it make you feel bad. Don't focus on those things. They're focused on the wrong thing. They're not focused on Jesus. And Jesus is the only thing that's going to get you from point A to point Z in this world. That's the only thing you need to focus on. So don't focus on tradition. Don't focus on holidays and celebrations of holidays. Don't focus on, well, you can't eat that. Yeah, I can. Don't focus on those things. Focus on Jesus. And so Paul continues this thought. He says this, and we're going to read it here. If you have a Bible, I want you following along in it. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, there's free ones out on the table right out front there. And then we're going to have it on the screen. So we're in Colossians, and we're going to read Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. You guys ready? Is that too fast? Okay. Paul says this, after going through that whole don't let anybody judge you and don't make this about the wrong thing, he says this, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Are you serious about it? Is it more talk than action? Is it more ethereal thought than, giving great mental assent instead of living it? Paul's confronting this. Act like it. Pursue things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. I love that. Look up. See what's going on around Jesus. See what's going on around his world. See what's going on and go there. Go with the goers, right? Jesus, what are you doing? I want to go there. And Jesus, if you're not found in the things that I'm doing currently, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there because I want to act like you act. I want to be like you are. And it's really not hard when you start diving in and you see the life of Jesus within Scripture and how he handled people and who he hung out with. What it's going to do is it's going to make you cringe inside because you don't want to hang out with prostitutes, some of you. Some of you, we need to talk about why you do. Okay? You laugh. It's a thing. it's a thing, right? But it makes us feel a little weird, like, oh, I don't want to do that because that could be messy. You know, I don't want to have to forgive anyone in my family because I'm right and they're wrong, right? That's messy, but Jesus says contrary, doesn't he? Quit talking about it and act like it. Look where Jesus is at and go there. Do those things. Stop just running the motions. And then he goes on. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity, like Christ. That passage right there can get a little bit confusing. And it would have been confusing unless I heard this phrase uttered from my wife's lips about 4 weeks ago. Her dad died, okay? Her father passed away. And what you need to understand about my wife's father is that he and my wife never had a good relationship, ever. He was a man who loved Jesus, but had a hard time showing grace and asking for forgiveness when he was in the wrong. He was a man that used Scripture as a weapon, but he was doing the best he could with what he had. That's hard to say right now, okay? That's hard to say. And my wife, we were driving home from the funeral, and she's 37 years old. So 37 years of this life lived with this man. Now, he hasn't lived with us. but 37 years of this man being her dad. And she said something so profound that just blew my mind, and I didn't understand it at the time, and I have a hard time processing it now. She said, you know what? The next time I see him, everything will be good. The next time I see him, there won't be this strife in our relationship. What? There won't be this bitter root. There won't be this hurt. There won't be this pain. Because the next time I see him, he will be in heaven, and I will be in heaven, and the real us, the people that we're aspiring to be right now by acting like Jesus, by following Jesus, this whole thing that we're pushing towards, moving two steps closer in, is going to be perfected when he comes. And I had my brain, it was like a train wreck. Like, what do you mean it's not gonna? Oh. This is exactly what she's talking about. This is exactly what Paul's talking about. The real you is gonna show up. Greg and I often say that this side of heaven, we're not going to see this real us. We're not going to see this true perfected version of us. We're going to see perfection happening as we follow Christ and he does those things through his work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that as we get better progressively. Those things are going to happen, or should. But this side of heaven, we're not going to see the full glory, and that's what Paul's talking about. And when that happens, man, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. It's beautiful, isn't it? He goes on to say, and that means, this is where the hard work comes in, right? And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Has anyone ever had a dad that asked them this question? Do you have some kind of a death wish? I did. And he was not a violent man, okay? At all. But I was able to push him, and he would ask me, do you have like some kind of a death wish or something? Because I'm going to destroy you right now. At Whitewater, we have this group called Death Wishes. And Death Wishes started out of a teaching I did on New Year's Day, many, many moons ago, when we were over at Suite 107. And instead of doing any kind of, New Year's resolution? I'm not going to drink coffee. We did what we call death wishes. What are the things in your world that you need to die to? What are the things in your world that are keeping you from acting like Jesus? What are the things in your world that keep you locked in a shame cycle that you come to church every week and it's the same issue every week when the pastor's talking? It always goes back to that same issue all the time, every single time. What are those things that you need to die to? And it comes literally out of Colossians. We didn't invent these things. This is amazing, right? That Scripture would speak to this. He says this. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. Is anybody living there this morning? Has anybody been living there their whole life? Your world is shaped by lusts, impurities, things that just destroy you. And so when things go well in your world, you're fine. And when things don't go well in your world, you're just tanked because you have nothing tangible to hold on to other than what you want to do, right? The things that make you feel good. Let's keep going. Grabbing whatever attracts your fancy, that's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. Uh-oh. Is God angry sometimes? He's not all huggy and grace-filled all the time? He is. But he also gets upset, doesn't he? Yeah. It wasn't long ago that you were doing this kind of thing. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now, so make sure it's all gone for good. And I thought I was safe, you know, sexual immorality, lust, blah, 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 blah. And then he starts unpacking more of this nonsense, right? Bad temper, dang it, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. That's like my whole life right there. He keeps going. What does this life look like? Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized, uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Man. These things that he calls out hit home, yeah? I'm guessing those are still hangovers from the Colossians church back in the day, yeah? When I was a kid, I used to think that once I got out of high school and stopped going to youth events, that at some point we would stop talking about drug abuse and sex, because that was the big things in high school, right? And then I get out and I'm like, are you kidding me? These things adults do too, right? These are things that adults do too, and they never shake it sometimes, and they never get over themselves, and they never stop doing whatever they want to do. And some of these well-meaning Christian people, too, right, suffer with this. I would say all well-meaning Christian people suffer with these same things. And that's the fight. Those are the things where Jesus isn't. So we need to get out of there. We need to go where Jesus is. We need to be surrounding ourselves with the things and places that Jesus goes and does things and do things just like him. It's interesting, he talks about this new clothing that he's going to make, this custom designer. I know nothing of designer clothing, okay? I know what you're thinking, I have one outfit, okay? I will tell you, I have multiple pairs of pants, multiple pairs of shorts, multiple pairs of underwear and socks. They just all happen to be black, okay? All right? But it was funny, this morning I got up and I realized I had a friend of mine, Kevin, invited me to a movie at some point this week. And he said, have you seen the new Purge movie? Anybody know what those are? It's a Christian film. he said, have you seen the new Purge movie? And do you want to go see it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And I was like, oh, crap, I haven't seen the other Purge movies, so I don't even know what this is about. So I started watching through these Purge movies, and there's three of them prior to this fourth one that's coming out. And I forewent doing laundry that needed to be done, which could have been actually washing the whole time I was watching these stupid movies, but I didn't do it. So this morning I wake up to zero pairs of socks in my drawer. And I found myself doing the walk of shame, because our second floor bedroom has a laundry hole. It's not a chute. It's not anything cool like that, but it's like literally a hole in our closet, and you throw your clothes in there, and then they disappear out of sight, out of mind. You don't need them, right? So it has this laundry hole, and I do the walk of shame from our bedroom down to the dirty clothes pile to get a pair of socks. And I hate that. Like, once I'm clean, I love being clean. And to feel that I'm putting on dirty clothes again doesn't make sense to me in my mind. But I had to out of necessity. And then God starts speaking, and he's like, hey, you know what? That's really funny, because this is in Scripture, actually. This whole designer clothes and these things, these old rags and these things that you should have been putting in a burn pile. And here you are putting on the dirty old pair of socks. How does that equate to your sin? How does that equate to what you're doing right now in life? How does that equate to what you have done in the past? How you've ignored the laundry, or the sin issue, or this issue that God says, I'm not here, I'm over here, and you've ignored it to the place where you just keep saying, you know what, I know it's bad, I know it's gross that I would grab another pair of socks that I've already worn yesterday and put them on, but I got to, I just have to. And we fool ourselves into thinking this is what life is, right? This is how we've always done things. This is the way we have to do things. And Jesus is saying, no! You don't. Check this out. Check this new way of life out. Check this new way of dealing with your life out. It's called me. Follow me. Where am I at? What am I doing? How am I doing this? How am I telling you it's possible to live? I've given you this Holy Spirit. If you just accept it, if you just say yes to it, if you just own who I am and the things of me, you're going to be better. You're not going to be buried under this thing. You're not going to have to go to the dirty clothes pile and put on a dirty pair of socks again. You're going to go to the designer closet that I've created for you, and you're going to put on my clothes. You're going to be clean. There's a lot of references to this snow white, this washed white, this being cleaned by, oddly enough, they use blood as a reference, right? If anybody tried to wash their clothes with blood, good, thank you. I was going to say, you bunch of freaks, right? But it talks about this being washed with blood, by the blood of Jesus, by what he's done for us. And then there's this crazy practice again that we've talked about, and actually we saw a baptism just a couple weeks ago. And then there's more of you talking about it, which is just incredibly beautiful, because you're feeling that pull, you're hearing that call from God, and this is the it, this is the stuff. Not getting dunked. What that represents is the it. That's the stuff. And you're saying yes to that, and some of you are just kind of peeking over the ledge and saying, I don't know about that. It's weird that I'd get in a pool in front of strangers and be dunked, right? We could set up a dunk tank and make it fun. Give everybody a little ball, right? But that's what this represents, is this clean washing, this new life, this everything. You're not a slave to this anymore. You don't have to go back to the dirty clothes pile over and over and over and over again. Put on the same clothes. You got a whole new life. Paul knew it. The Colossians didn't know it. Sometimes day to day, I don't know it. Sometimes I go back to the same thing, like the dog reference Craig used in the chain. We get unhooked from the chain and we don't leave. We don't know we can. We don't know we should. We don't know that we can go where Jesus is telling us to go. And so we sit right next to this post in the ground. God's calling you to far better, far greater, far more than what you're giving yourselves right now. So how do you engage that right now in your mind? How do you engage that right now in your spirit? If you've not said yes to Jesus, if you've not had that conversation with him, if you're tired of going to your dirty clothes pile and putting on the same old pair of socks, stop today. There's absolutely no reason for you to do that anymore. Some of you have said yes to Jesus, and yet you continue to go to the same dirty pile of socks. There's no reason for you to do that anymore. Own what Jesus is saying. Own what Jesus is telling you. Own what Paul is telling the Colossians. It's done. It's over. Live in freedom. Some of you are thinking right now, it's not even possible. What the things you are saying is not even possible for me, because I'm so steeped in addiction. I'm so steeped in everything that I want to do. And you know what? We do know that about you. And we have places for you. Anybody heard of death wishes? I just talked about it, so that's not fair. But we have a men's death wishes and a woman's death wishes. And it's about freedom for you. And it's ran by people who experience that same freedom that you're looking for. Is it weird? Probably, yeah. You get to go talk about your issue. You get to talk about your issues, your dirty laundry. And you're surrounded by people there that want the best for you and want freedom for you, because they're looking for the exact same thing. And it's only found through Jesus. It's only found through that. We're not going to lie to you. If there was another way, we would try to give you that. If there was a pill we could take, we'd be pointing to it, right? Make yourselves available to these things. Make yourselves available to community. If you're going at this life alone, Paul's talking to a whole group of people here. He's not talking to individuals. He's talking to a whole church. This is how you operate. This is how you live. This is what's possible for you. What's your hang up? So we have things available. We have people available. This is a community that will love you and not judge you. I believe in that. I've been here almost a decade with this same body, and I've seen nothing but love and grace. We bump up to issues where sometimes we have to speak hard truths to one another, and sometimes that causes division, but it comes out of a place of love almost every single time. And when it doesn't, we do our best for reconciliation every time. So whether you know Jesus today or whether you don't know Jesus today is up to you. It totally is up to you. I can't say anything else that's going to sway you. I can't give you any other word picture. It's totally up to you. If you're tired of running the rat race, say yes to Jesus. Have this conversation with him. Put your trust in him, and your world is going to change forever. Not only yours, but all these other people around you. Your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your grandma, your grandpa, your moms, your dads. It's going to impact. So God, that's my prayer today for everyone here to say yes to the things of you. God, you've taken down every division. You've taken down every classification. You've taken down every piece of religiousness that we would want to hide behind. And you removed every barrier and said, it's about me. That's it. No more, no less. God, I pray for ownership of that this morning. I pray for hearts that are able to own that. I pray for ears that are able to hear that. I pray for minds that are able to process this information, God, to say yes to you. And I pray that that generates so much love within us together, collectively as a body, that it just births incredible obedience to whatever it is that you asked of us. Wherever it is that you call us, wherever it is that you are, God, that we would just run as hard as we can to those places. And far away from the places that we've come out of, this old way of life. And just run to where you are. God, help us process that right now. Holy Spirit, do your work right now. God, help us own these concepts because a dying world relies on them. Our neighbors rely on them. Our family rely on them. The people around us rely on them because they're looking for freedom just like we are. So God, thank you for this movement. Thank you for making this available. Thank you for making this available through the grace of Jesus. That he would take his time and effort and everything and just go to the places that you are. That he would live a life that we could follow. That he would live a life that would actually make life available to us as he gave up his life doing that. God, take us from this place knowing full well who you are. Take us from this place with a resounding yes to following you. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.